Welcome back to Quicksland This Morning. We're now at 8:33, and this is time for a monthly visit with the Randolph County Commission. We were so busy visiting, we forgot we're going on the radio here. We're going to say hi to Presiding Commissioner and the one suffering from the allergies today. How are you, Mr. Truesdale?
Well, outside the allergies, Bob, I'm really pretty good. It's good to see you this morning.
All right. Eastern District Commissioner Wayne Wilcox is with us. How are you, sir?
I'm doing real good. I got off the combine about 1:30 last night, so I thought it was really going to rain yesterday, and it didn't. It rained on us just as we were dumping the last load in the truck. We finished a field that's quite a ways away from my base operation. So I'm a little shaky and a little under the weather from overwork last night.
So you wanted to get as much done as you could before the rain hits this weekend, didn't you?
That's right. And I found that I wasn't the only guy wandering around after midnight with combines. There was, I think, two went up and down Highway B last night. And anyway, it was there was a lot of folks out and about working. You could see lights everywhere.
All right, Commissioner John Hobbs from the western side. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great.
How are things in the western district?
Western district is always wonderful. And I was done by 5 o'clock in a hayfield last night.
Go ahead, Wayne. Let him have it. John, well, we didn't tell them we were going to have the debate today, which is a better side of the county, the western or the eastern.
Good Lord, we don't even want to go down into that fight.
Hey, I'll make a mutual agreement. They're both great.
There you go.
Hey, I would second that. I would second that.
All right. Hey, John, we may get some rain this weekend, too. Is everyone ready to go in case we do have any concerns?
Absolutely. We're doing good. Road and Bridge is finally catching up. They're finishing up on mowing the sides of the road. The county commissioners here, we're a little bit behind. We're going to go check all of our outside buildings where we in Cairo and in over in Rennick and Higbee and do our usual yearly tour.
All right. By the way, if you have questions for the commission, 263-242-4388-6424, toll-free 800-892-2300. I know you guys want to talk about something that appeared in the Post-Dispatch earlier, and who kind of wants to kick that off for us?
Well, I might kick that off. I think Wayne's got some facts, and Johnny may have some facts that's on it. In 2013, there was an issue with Ameren UE about the pipelines and what they owed. When those lines are being assessed, they take them at whatever value that's involved inside of that. And so there became a conflict between Ameren and between the assessors across the state about how much that was worth. And when you have something that's underground like that, I would admit that it is a little bit difficult to decide, well, just exactly what is this worth? What is its life expectancy? What should we be taxed on those different ends? But the issue that we have that's inside this is that this has been going on since 2013. They have come up against a group of, I believe it's 16 different counties that they're trying to take and kind of holding hostage. They're not paying their taxes. Taxes that they're paying are going into escrow. So the school systems and the other entities that are receiving those tax dollars have not had them for a considerable period of time. And that money is racking up. And in some of these counties, they're desperate for this money. Randolph County has been able to hold that off for a period of time, but it's getting to a place to where there's so much money that's sitting inside of that picture that it's clearly something that we think we need to be saying something about it. We need to let the public know about it in hope that they will turn around and they will contact Ameren and say, listen, you know, you need to come to the table. You need to try to turn around, work with us, and do something to turn around and put this to an end. Wayne, have you got any facts or anything over on those particular ends on how much money is at stake?
Overall, John referred to 16 counties, but the 16 counties are all rural counties. I want to emphasize rural counties. And there's over $20 million involved in the thing over those 16 counties. Locally, through 17, they've protested little over $2 million worth of taxes. And that's through 17. With 18 thrown in, it'll be another 200 and somewhere around 300,000. What the problem is some of the counties have been desperate for money, and the collectors have gone on and advanced some of that money. In our case, we've held all of that money, okay? And that's what a collector should do, and it's held in escrow. It draws interest so that if Ameren wins their protest, that money can go back to Ameren, and we keep what finally sorted out. And the judgment folks in this are the state tax commission. And then if everybody doesn't agree with what the tax commission says, it goes through the courts. And we, the rural counties, and I say we, the rural counties, have won all the cases that they've put before them until a recent Court of Appeals case. Anyway, at that point, it kind of remanded everything right back to the tax commission and say, decide on what it ought to be done here. And it's a matter of depreciation, as John said. It's a matter of what the value of the lines in the ground are. Now, this is a bit hearsay, but our assessor attended one of these hearings, and at the end of one of those hearings, one of the other assessors from another county made a comment to the Ameren lawyers. What are you all telling your stockholders the value of these assets are? Are they the same as what you're trying to get us to assess them at? And everybody really shut up. And locally, there's a lot of Ameren lines in the ground in Boone County, and they have never chosen to appeal their taxes in Boone County. Yet they do here and every year. They're very nice about it. They're not belligerent about it or anything. And in some of the counties, it shouldn't happen here because I believe most of our taxing entities are in fair financial shape. It matters most to Mobley, the library. They're probably the two biggest gainers of if this happened. But in some of these other rural counties, taxes are going to probably have to go up if Ameren wins this thing. And the 16 counties have spent a lot of money establishing what is a fair market value for those assets. And anyway, that's kind of it in a nutshell.
So where are we now? What's happening at this point?
Well, we're still holding hearings before the State Tax Commission. And they just held one here about 3 weeks ago, sometime in the last 3 weeks. And we're waiting for what they're going to say from that if we don't have to have some more.
John?
I was just going to add on the thing. The issue is inside of the depreciation on whatever the line is. The thing that I wanted to let everybody out there know is that Ameren believes that their line is depreciated somewhere between 70 and 80%. We don't think that that's even possibly reasonable. We think that if the line had depreciated that much, you'd be seeing them digging the thing up and putting something in new in order to turn around and assure that that's a good, safe line and that that line would carry their product the way that it needs to. So there are issues on each side of the line. There are different opinions on each side of the line. The hardest part, though, that is in this picture for myself to turn around and understand is how can they allow this thing to have went on since 2013? I think they're just holding out. And I know it's strictly a business move inside of that end, but I don't know how you hold out against your friends and your neighbors and the people that you've crossed with your pipeline.
All right, we've got a phone call coming in. Moberly line, hi there, you're on with the commission. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on with the commission.
Yes, I have a question. It's kind of two-part. I'd like to know if the grain belt issue is done, and I'd also like to know if it's not, where does the county stand on the grain belt issue?
All right, thanks for calling in, and I'll just toss it open. Gentlemen, where do we want to go?
Well, the The Grain Belt issue is still on and operable. Grain Belt Express recently, in part, you might say that they won a victory with the Supreme Court at the state of Missouri. They went to both of the different district courts, the East and the West, and they just won a case there at the Supreme Court. And the case was is that they did not have to go before county commissions in order to go to the Public Service Commission and receive utility status. That's what Green Belt Clean Line has been trying to do. They're trying to get to the Public Service Commission and receive that status. No, it is not through. It is not dead. They're still alive and kicking and wanting to turn around and come across a number of different counties here across the state. And so that part is still ongoing. Now, there are some issues that are out there that do concern some of that. If they are granted utility status by the Public Service Commission in the same issue that the Supreme Court ruled on for them, they also ruled on the backside of that, and they said, but you can't cross those counties unless you had the consent of the county. So if the Public Service Commission were to turn around and to grant them utility status, each one of the different counties that line is going to cross would have the opportunity to turn around and to accept or reject that particular end. The second part of the question is, where do we stand, Randolph County? Randolph County took a stand here 2 years ago, maybe close to that. We are neutral on that. We are waiting to see what happens with the Public Service Commission. At such a time as whatever the Public Service Commission rules, then the county will entertain at that point ideas about hearings to hear both sides of the issue and to try to make a decision on our part for the direction that needs to turn around and go. So we are in a neutral wait and see status. The state of Missouri has this in their hands right now with the Public Service Commission. At such a time, if that ever comes back our way, then we'll deal with that when that time comes.
So Wayne, correct me if I'm wrong, it's up to Grain Belt at this point if they want to take it to the PSC and see what happens moving forward.
Yes, I believe that's where they're at the moment.
All right. Our toll-free lines are open for you if you'd like to join us. 263-242-4388-6424. Toll-free 800-892-2300. All right. What's on that? By the way, before we move on, I want to ask you one other thing before we got the phone call. Overall, the relationship with Ameren and Randolph County, is it a pretty good one?
Yes, I think that it is. They've always, like Wayne said, they've come in. They've always been very nice. They've been very pleasant. We understand where they're coming from. It's a business decision on their part. To give some merit to what they have to say, well, we know there's got to be some depreciation on that line. The thing of it is that we don't believe that it is as large as they're indicating that it is. So, you know, that's where the discrepancies are coming from. And then, much like what Wayne said, you know, they've been making business decisions. That was not an accident that they chose not to go up against Boone County. They chose to go up against a group of the smaller Class 3 rural counties that wouldn't be able to put up as good a fight against them.
But, Wayne, overall, is that relationship a pretty good one, a cooperative one?
Yes. I believe that you know, they're community-minded, and they do things here in the community. They support things here in the community. We have good electric service. They work closely with us. And we wouldn't even be saying anything about this if it hadn't been 5 years. Okay, as John talked about, it's a business decision on their part. 1 year, 2 years for us to work this out, 3 years it ought to have been settled. So when it's the fourth and fifth year, it's crazy, okay, that honest to goodness, good people that sitting down in a room can't work this out. And they came to us, and we thought that we were going to be break away maybe from the other 16 counties. And we got really close, okay? But close doesn't count. You gotta have. And the assessor in all of these counties uses tried and true and what the state statute tells them to do on evaluating these assets. And that's what they're following, and all of a sudden, we're upside down.
All right, let's turn the page and go to the Western District Commissioner. Where are we with bulk fuel purchases? I know that's been something you've been working on.
Well, I've called a company that has 60 10,000-plus gallon fuel tanks, and I have purchased two tanks. I've got to get over to Carrollton and actually put my finger on two of them. He has held back several for me. Our engineering firm, we've already got everything completed between the lawyers, and they should be getting started within the week.
So where's this stuff going to go, John, and how's it going to help the county?
Well, the physical tanks are going to go back by the road and bridge department behind the corner.
Gee, that makes sense.
But what it's really going to do for us is it's going to allow us, instead of buying fuel the way we are currently bidding on fuel. We go through Wrights and MFA and any other place that we can get a bid from. But the thing of it is we can only hold so many gallons of fuel at a time, so we're not able to buy the fuel by a full semi-tanker, 7,500 to 10,000 gallons at a time. Once we're able to receive a full semi-truckload at a time, our price could vary anywhere from 10 cents to 15 cents a gallon. You take 15 cents times 160,000 gallons, it's a lot of money.
All right, and this is something the commission's been talking about, haven't they, John?
Well, that's absolutely right. We were looking inside of the different ends on what that can turn around and do for us. We had some different representatives that came over and explained how much you could save in the course of this. So I believe they came in from MFA Oil, and we're talking about the amounts of money you could save by going on to this end. These tanks will be paid for before 2 years is up, according to the current schedule and with the estimated savings that's involved in it. So it's kind of a really a no-brainer inside of this operation to turn around and to buy the tanks, to establish them, to set them up. I think you're going to see a certain amount of efficiency that comes out from that end of it too. One of them will be for gasoline, one of them will be for diesel fuel, so that all the fuel that's purchased in from the county would be coming this way. And we right now we anticipate that we could save as much as $18,000 a year on fuel costs by utilizing these larger tanks.
All right, when do you hope to have it up and running then?
It's going to be after the first of the year now, but it's a good time of the year for us. Getting colder outdoors, road and bridge crew have always got things to do, of course, but we'll get to where we don't have the crews out mowing and we can have the crews out. We are actually going to do the physical dirt work and getting everything set up in-house.
All right, is Wayne going to get out there and dig the dirt for you?
Well, I'm sure he could if he wants to. But the problem that we'll have is he'll want to plant corn or beans.
No, we're going to have a nice engineered the whole project set up. Like Johnny said, we've hired a consulting engineer to engineer the project, and so it'll all be set up very nice. The big thing, the big change is we will be buying gasoline in bulk rather than buying it at local station prices. We're going to be bidding that, and you're going to have a pretty elaborate system to monitor who's buying, which department's buying it, so Road and Bridge gets charged for Road and Bridge, Sheriff gets charged for Sheriff's, the juvenile office, the assessor, anybody, they're the primary drivers in the county. So it'll all get divided out properly.
There'll be two ways that this will be tracked. Number one, we'll be able to put a key fob. Each person will have a key fob. And if they don't have their key fob with them, there will be an app on their phone, and you can just press that app and you'll put in your license plate or your car number. It'll be down within 2 seconds of fueling. Will Ellis, our clerk, will have where the fuel went to.
All right. Hey, we've got a few minutes left in the program. How's the budget looking?
we just had a preliminary walkthrough on that, and that was looking very good. Budget looks like it's coming in black. I don't want to go out there too far. I've still got three more months to finish out in the course of this year, but everything is looking good. We've done a good job about controlling the spending this year, and it looks like that budget's coming up and going forward black. We think we may have some money that's still left inside that budget that we may be able to carry over, which would be good. That would indicate, too, from the fact that we're pulling back on our spending and where that part has been involved in it. So the finances right now, I'm going to tell you, look pretty good. This afternoon, I know you always ask before we leave, and what do we have on agenda. One of the things that's on the agenda today is we're going to be talking about the priorities for 2019. So we know there's a number of different things that we need to buy. There's a number of things we'd kind of like to buy or maybe want, you know, so the difference between wants and needs. But we have a large priority list as we go through the year, and as different things come up, we'll holler out, and our administrative assistant will have a spreadsheet that we put that information on, so that we can be looking for costings. We can be doing our legwork to find out what the different things are going to be. And then we put a priority on that as we come into the new year and as we anticipate what our revenue stream is going to be and what our expected expenditures are going to be.
What are some of the potential big expenses in the new year?
Well, we know from the road and bridge side of the fence, we know that there is a bridge that we want to try to do a resurface that is on. But then as well, we're also have been looking into and talking about, we've only got a few low water crossings that are left inside the county, but one of them is kind of crucial. It sits there as the pass between road between Rennick and Higbee. And so the ambulances have a tendency to turn around and try to come through there at times when we've had floods. Well, we would like to maybe talk about trying to put a bridge or a box culvert or something of some sort into that area, and we've had some engineering work that's been done there. We're having some people look at that right now to try to make that road passable full-time and to make it a lot safer.
All right, Wayne, how about from your standpoint?
You're on the budget. We're looking at our guesstimate going early in January. They're on sales tax revenue. We're within, I think, $2,000 of that estimate, and so we're just perking along just really good. The way I see it, we live and die, so to speak, on how that sales tax goes, and with all the economic activity going on in the county right at the moment, with new businesses and stuff coming in, I think things look, you know, new employment, wanting to hire out in two or three different businesses, that all looks good. And the fact that we've got a subdivision going in and two or three different parts of the town indicates that things are going pretty good.
All right, gentlemen, we're going to have to let you go. Thanks so much for being with us today. Randolph County Commission has joined us on Quicks Land this morning.